You've written something and you've done something I think a lot of people wish they would have done too late. You're really immortalizing your mother with this wonderful book, My Mother's Kitchen, mm-hmm. Breakfast, Lunch, Dinner, and the Meaning of Life.
Well, thank you so much. That was my intent. So I'm glad you think it works.
Oh, I think it worked beautifully. So tell our listeners exactly what the book's about and what brought it about.
Well, there are many things it's about, I like to think. What brought it about is my mother had a truly extraordinary life mm-hmm. that, you know, there's a famous saying in America that Americans don't have second acts. Well, my mother had five acts to her life, and each one was more extraordinary than the last.
Mm.
And in her 80s, she had a massive stroke. And my mother was very important in the food world,
yes.
and food was essential to our family and to our world. So after she had her stroke, what really remained was her sense of taste, and taste became crucial to her connection to the world. I decided to make her favorite dishes and learn why they were so important to her and what made them so important to our family and to the world around us. So I spent a couple of years talking to her and cooking for her and with her, and all the recipes were not just picked for taste, but because they had a real emotional resonance for her. They were all connected to her past or our past. And as a result, I got to know my mother. And what really sparked it is many years ago, I watched her without her knowing that I was there. I was visiting from New York. My parents lived in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And she had just started cooking professionally. And I watched her chop something. And I saw this sense of serenity and peace on her face. And I went, wow, I'd never seen anything quite like it. And I wanted to know how she achieved it. And then decades later, after her stroke, I said to her, did you love cooking because it gave so much pleasure to other people? And she said, no, to myself. And I was really surprised. And I said, well, what was it? And she said, it gave me a sense of identity. And that sense of identity gave her comfort. And I wanted to see how that happened to a person. And so I started cooking and talking to her. And that's what the book is about, that path towards identity and comfort through food.
And you really weren't much of a cook before this, were you?
You know, I could cook, but I would say not much of a cook is a fair assessment.
Okay.
You know what it is I could make comfort food, but I had no discipline in the kitchen. I had no knowledge of what I was doing. I could make things taste good,
mm-hmm.
which I know counts, but I basically was incapable of following a recipe. I don't like people telling me what to do. So halfway through a recipe, I would just go, oh, I can do this myself. And I learned to be more disciplined. I learned all sorts of things in the kitchen that I think turned out to be really valuable in life. And I learned in the process, really, how my mother got to be the person, the extraordinary person she got to be.
Were there things that surprised you as you went along with this?
Honestly, almost everything surprised me in this process. I was surprised by what I learned about my mother. I learned just how strong she really was, that when I was a child, her strength was very quiet and hidden because my father was much more of an extrovert and everyone assumed he was the strength of the family. And it turned out that it really was my mother's quiet will of steel that held things together.
Mm.
I learned about how my mother actually improved as she got older, something that I think is really hard to do, that
yeah.
she actually became more and more interesting the older she got and the more independent she became. I learned, you know, just in the kitchen, I was surprised at the life lessons that one can take from learning how to cook. Maybe the most important for me was that cooking actually provides a sense of hope that at some point, no matter how many errors you make, things are going to coalesce and turn out okay. And I also learned that you can't have any fear in the kitchen, which is something you shouldn't have as you go through life as well. So it was a constant surprise to me and always a pleasant one.
So what recipes, you didn't want these recipes just to go away. You wanted these to be a part of your life too. What were some of the favorites that you put in the book?
Well, they range from really simple, as I say in the book some of the early things I made that were important to my mother, a fairly agile monkey could make. They were so simple. Like a dish called matzo brei, which was made at my mother's father's very famous Jewish dairy restaurant called Ratner's in New York.
Oh, yeah.
And my mother used to make me that when I was a little boy, and we used to have it at her father's restaurant, so it was important to her and important to me. Chocolate pudding, which is possibly for me the most emotionally resonant recipe in the book. Again, anybody can make this. But I also learned to make, when my mother got really into the food world in her 50s in mm-hmm. a serious way, she went to work at a restaurant when she was 53. She'd never worked a day in her life, and she took a non-paying job to learn how to become a good French cook.
Wow.
And happily for her and for all the rest of us, the baby chef at this restaurant was a guy no one had heard of at the time named Wolfgang Puck.
Oh, my gosh.
And my mother wound up really mentoring Wolf in life as he mentored her in the kitchen. And so one of the recipes in the book is something called salmon kulabiak, which probably was the most important recipe for my mother because it was the first thing Wolf ever taught her to make. It took me 2 days and a lot of alcohol to get it down pat, but I did. And part of the fun of the book, part of the fun of writing the book, but also I hope reading it, is I record not just my family history and the family memoir and the family squabbles and the sort of arc of my mother's life, which really, really is moving and impressive mm-hmm. and inspiring. It's interspersed with my learning how to make all this food, as well as the history of why they're important and an important on a personal level. So again, as you can tell from my conversation, I'm hardly a professional chef, and it's just one blunder after another, but I do get there, and I hope that people read that and go, well, I can get there too, whether it's in the kitchen or out.
Well, I think for anybody that reads your book, number one, it's the most beautiful love letter to a mom I think you could ever put out there. But it does take you back to a time where people were in the kitchen, when the families were there, when they were that nice, cohesive unit, not kind of like today when we're all kind of spread out a little bit and don't pay as much attention to these things that we might regret down the line.
Exactly right. And one of the things that was most valuable for me that I didn't realize until actually after I was all done writing the book, and my mother died a year ago at mm-hmm. age 93. And I realized as a result of this process, or at least largely because of this process, when my mother died, I had no regrets whatsoever about our relationship. I really felt I had said anything I had to say to her or do anything I had to do for her. And I know she felt the same way. And I realized it's a really valuable thing, not just for me, but to tell people that it's a very good feeling if you can say, I don't have any regrets about my relationship with a parent, or a parent to say the same thing about his or her relationship with a child.
Wow.
It's important. And that doesn't mean it was perfect. You know, we argued. She drove me crazy, like mothers always drive their sons crazy. And I definitely drove her crazy. But we had absolutely no regrets because it was a really honest relationship. And a lot of that honesty came about because of the food.